Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Seemed like a lot shorter time to get to this point than what it normally does. I don't know what the difference is. I'm here with a little bit of trepidation for a couple of reasons. One, we have a new microphone and we're just checking it out. I can't think of a better person than a nervous new guy trying to stand up here and talk on a new microphone. So hopefully it goes well and Brian doesn't start waving me off, and so we'll take care of that. Hopefully you can all hear. The other trepidation I have is the last time I was supposed to do a message, it was also a message on healing blindness. And that was when I was studying for that. That's when I had my stroke and became partially blind in my left peripheral vision. So I told Nathan I'd be willing to preach on anything as long as it wasn't blindness. Obviously, he wasn't paying much attention. Thank you, Nathan. But it is my pleasure to be able to come up and share God's word with you. So let's get to it. We're going to be looking at Mark, the 10th chapter, the 46th through the 52nd verses, talking about healing the blind Bartimaeus. Let's hear what Mark has to say. And they came to Jericho, and he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to him in prayer. Gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we pray that as we study this short message about Bartimaeus, that we can make it applicable to us, that we can learn some things that will improve our relationship with you, that it will draw us closer to you, that we'll realize that you are indeed our Savior and you desire us to love you even more. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Being a blind man at any time can be hard, have a dramatic effect on people's lives. And I know I'm going to be the champion of understatement here this morning. Obviously, it can be pretty devastating. But a lot of people have overcome blindness and dealt with it and been blessed to do. I think of, just forgot her name, Helen Keller. Tremendous story. If you haven't read it, you need to, just to say what can be done in the worst of conditions. And yet she overcame blindness and deafness and everything and became a tremendous example of how to live life. Being blind in biblical times was even more difficult to live. Those who were at that point, those who were born blind experienced sickness or injury and was caused infection and extreme pain and resulting loss of life. And the loss of the ability to provide for oneself and family often caused rejection by society around them and people looking down upon them. So it was a very miserable life at that point. There was not a lot of compassion in that community at that point. This was the life that Bartimaeus was facing prior to encountering Jesus. My own experience of facing some of blindness really rattled my reality. And the first day or two, I remember when I woke up in the hospital the first morning and it was kind of quiet, and I'm laying there and I can't see to the left any of my peripheral vision. And it was like, what am I going to do? I can't drive this way. I mean, there's all kinds of questions that came into my life. that it's going to change my life. Where is this going to go? But never once during those first few days did I consider being rejected by anyone. I knew that I would not be rejected by my family or friends, any friends that I had, and my acquaintance would treat me, you know, nobody was going to pick on me, unlike Bartimaeus, who was going to be rejected and hammered on. I could reflect on the abilities of the medical community and with some confidence. But more important, I knew that God had created a wonderful body and that has tremendous abilities to adapt to new conditions. And we've all had many different kinds of maladies in our life that we've had to adapt to. And after a little bit, you realize, well, how, you know, this bothered me for a while and now I don't notice it. It's not that it's necessarily gone away, it's just we've adapted to it. And in fact, that's what's happened with my vision now. I do have a certain amount of blindness, but I can kind of ignore it, get around it, get used to it. And so that's working really well. But more importantly, the Bartimaeus had none of these assurances. He didn't have the medical community. He didn't have any of that. So as we begin to examine this short account of Jesus healing the blindness of Bart, we would know that each account of healing the sight in the Bible is followed by an example of the disciples' spiritual blindness. So each one of these stories about blindness, there's a correlating story. If you think about Nathan spoke of it last time when he just had his healing, and the disciples said, it's kind of who's the important one of the bunch, or, you know, whatever. They were always not paying attention. Keep that thought, talking about the disciples' spiritual blindness. And keep that thought in the back of your mind about the idea of spiritual blindness. The healing of Bart's eyesight was the last recorded miracle of the three Gospels. Matthew actually records two men being healed, but he named neither of them. The scholars do not elaborate on why this situation exists. Mark was the only one that mentioned the name of one of them, which is, of course, Bartimaeus. None of the scholars mentioned it, but I wondered if maybe Bart was mentioned because either he or his father may have known one of the followers of Jesus, and that set him apart and they remembered him. He was somebody to them. Don't know, not saying it is, just kind of thought about that. And in this story, unlike the one that we read back in Mark 8, in the first couple of verses, there was no two-stage process. Jesus walked up, Bartimaeus asked him to heal him. Jesus healed him. There was no physical contact. There was nothing. And so it shows that Jesus is able to do these things kind of as a hands-off situation. I'm sorry. The poor treatment of the physically disabled is reflected in the stars in the Bart crowd's reaction to Bart, how they rebuked him to be silent. The crowd's view was surely that Jesus could not be bothered with someone as unfit as Bartimaeus. And I think it's notable that even in his blind condition, that Bart's senses alerted him to the presence of Jesus, Son of David. We also find him very exuberant in getting Jesus' attention and crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So he's very adamant about this. He's very, you know, very much wanting to get Jesus' attention. And once again, there's a variation of the storytelling. Matthew and Luke record that Jesus spoke directly to Bart. Mark's take on it was that Jesus spoke to those around him and said, "Call him." But in either case, even though Jesus was facing suffering in Jerusalem, he still considered marginalized people. So you can imagine, even though Jesus knows what he's facing that's coming up in just a Matter of fact, not too distant future, about coming into the city and all of what he suffered, he was still thinking about the people and their common needs that they had. Sorry, if I just followed my script, I'd be a lot better off. Jesus acknowledged Bart and asked what he wanted Jesus to do. Jesus responded to the need and desire of Bart. Jesus already knew what he needed and he knew what he was going to do, but he still engaged Bart and gave him the opportunity to have input into the situation. Jesus knows our needs and circumstances. He knows what he's going to do in our lives. And I think it's vital that we remember that. Jesus knows and does what's best for us. However, he still not only allows, but he encourages us to speak to him through prayer the desires of our hearts. He wants us to communicate to him about all of our needs. When we hear the response of Bart, that it's apparent that he was not always blind. He responded, "Recover my sight." It would indicate that he was once able to see. There's nothing to indicate the details of his condition, but we do know that disease and infections were common at that time, and medical help had limited effectiveness. And pain and suffering may have very well been what was going on in his life and prevented him to have any kind of joy of living. And I think it's kind of vital, you know, we kind of blow past these things. And again, thinking about the times and the effect of some of these things on people's lives, the healing of the blindness really comes at a deeper level than just being blind. There's a lot of other things tied with it. Bart sought Jesus to have mercy on his life and restore his sight. When we come to Christ for help and healing, we should remember he's not just a miracle worker. He's not just a revolutionary doctor with new healing techniques, nor was his primary purpose to heal us of physical ailments. Jesus, now please hear this, Jesus came to save our souls from eternal damnation. He came to save us from God's wrath. Bart had heard of Jesus and understood at least some degree what addressing Jesus as Son of David. He had learned somewhere the perception that the Son of David could do great miracles. It could be said that Bart was physically blind, but the acuity of his spiritual vision was 20/20. It was upon his insight that Bart begged Jesus to restore his sight. Most of us desire to earn our bread, as it were, and when it comes to the work of Jesus in our lives, we cannot earn what he offers. The actions that we take, the works that we do, the charity that we exhibit towards others are never enough to earn any work of physical healing, emotional restoration, or more importantly, spiritual salvation by Jesus. They are freely given by him for the asking in faith and in repentance. Such was the case with Bart. He had not known Jesus or been around Jesus for up to this point in his life. One could say that it was a chance encounter. Although most of us should be aware by this time that in fact there are no chance encounters with Jesus in the lives of anyone, and especially in believers. Bart was at that particular place for that particular time. And we can look at all the situations in our own lives and find the same thing. We're never someplace that we're not supposed to be. Well, I have been, but that's our story. An observation of Bart reveals that he was very adamant and persistent in getting his request through to Jesus. When he was rebuffed by those around him, he cried out even more. He was not going to be easily shut down by anyone. He should be an example to us to be persistent and be honest with our request to Jesus. He already knows what we, Jesus already knows what we need, and he desires the turning of our hearts, our devotion and trust to him. He wants our steadfast love. What he wants is our loving attention and trust that he will do the right things in our lives. In a previous message, we talked about the crowd surrounding Jesus and all the hubbub going on. And what we're talking about today is the same thing. We talked about the large crowd that was following it before Jesus did the healing. So for Bart to be heard, this is the point I was trying to make, for Bart to be heard over all of that crowd was really quite something. And he was making sure he was being heard. He must have been very noticeable, even with all the noise. Something that could be missed in the multitude is trying to shut up Bart was their attitude that he was not deserving of attention. We don't get much insight from Scripture as to what their judgments were based. However, people have not changed much over all the years. That being said, it's not hard to imagine that they looked at his clothes. They looked at his physical condition. Probably his hair was messy and matted, and his clothes unclean and ragged. But they could not see the inner beauty that Jesus did. This is not unlike folks today. It's pretty easy to judge a person's outer appearance and make a wrong judgment about their spiritual condition. Jesus' example to us is clear. Don't judge a book by its cover. Of course, for Jesus, it was easier for someone to see in someone's heart, but that doesn't give us an excuse not to try harder to see a person's inner beauty as Jesus sees them. Another point about the crowds, even though they looked disdainfully upon Bart and tried to quiet him, what happened? Jesus said, call him, and her attitude changed. You could about see him scrambling to, come on, Jesus wants to talk to you. You could just see that. They were probably recalling other teachings of Jesus and realizing they had fallen short on their approach to Bart. Even in such a simple matter of treating others, Jesus' influence can change our attitudes and actions. We, of course, must be aware and sensitive to his instruction and guidance as shown where in scriptures. So we've talked about the effects of physical blindness. We've talked about Bart's persistence and trust in Jesus, the Son of David. And we've noted that Bart at least had some spiritual insight into the capabilities of Jesus. It is the spiritual insight which we will address for a time. It was stated earlier that each account of Jesus healing a blind person was a teachable moment for the disciples and their spiritual condition. There are no random acts or moments recorded in scriptures. Each one has some purpose or point and needs to be understood, remembered, and applied to our lives. The opinions of folks smarter than I lean toward the idea that these teachable moments about eyesight blindness are similar to spiritual blindness. One could ask, how can that be? I looked up because I wanted to concentrate. I thought there was a couple of different ways we could have gone, but I wanted to kind of emphasize what is spiritual blindness, because we may never have thought about that before. And I found a website called Got Questions that I've used quite frequently that's a good place to find out some basic questions. And so I put down some excerpts from which maybe we can understand this a little better. And I'm just going to read those so we don't miss what they're trying to get at. To be spiritually blind is not to see Christ. And not to see Christ is not to see God. I have written these down. If anybody wants copies, I can give them to you afterwards. Spiritual blindness is a grievous condition experienced by those who do not believe in God, Jesus Christ, and His Word. Those who reject Christ are lost. Being spiritually blind, they are perishing. They chose not to accept the teachings of Christ and His authority in their lives. They are blind to the manifestations of God that God has revealed through His Word in Jesus Christ. The spiritually blind are simply unable to understand God's Word. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So that's the caveat. This is the kind of the changing of saying, you see the negative side, but the positive side is if we are in Christ, if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, then these other things do not apply. Without God and left to ourselves, we easily succumb to the devil's schemes. We can become so mired in the affairs of this world and its moral darkness that in the end, God turns us over to spiritual blindness and eternal condemnation. That's if we haven't claimed Christ as our Savior. That is what the alternative is. As believers, we can overcome the evil one and remain in the light and never become spiritually blind. For in truth, Jesus has given us His wonderful promise. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have a right to life. What an assurance that is. There are some scriptures that I want to read a few of that apply to this same subject. In Corinthians, we read, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ. And when you say the God of this world, who is that? Satan. That's who's running the world right now. With God's permission, obviously, but so if you're following Satan, then you're going to go down the wrong path. Simple as that. The natural person of the world, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, and they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. So what that's saying is, if you're not a believer, you can't even begin to understand this stuff, because you have to have the Spirit of God in you to discern what the truth is and what the right relationship with God is. Again, Jesus spoke to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness and will have the light of life. I don't know how many times we could read that and not get a little goosebump or two. It just ought to be part of your life. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his work should be exposed. It's easy to see. It doesn't take too much looking around us with some of the actions of people. Their light has been snuffed out, or maybe they didn't even have a light to begin with. And that's what we're seeing today. And in Ephesians, I think this is a very good one. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers over his present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I can stop right there, and those scriptures should assure us of what we have the ability to be able to do. When you think about either condition of blindness and how that it has a dramatic effect on our life, whether it's physical blindness and the problems that that causes, the stumbling blocks that it puts before us, the condition of not being able to function completely, and we know a lot of people that do that. But the question that I think comes up is, which has a greater impact on our life? Physical blindness or spiritual blindness? Now let me... Bart's story is as at least one point that we should not miss. His persistence, be persistent in our request for Jesus' love and favor. Bart was bold and persistent in his request for healing. We should consider this as an example of our relationship with Jesus. There should be able to rest on expectation that Jesus will do the right things in our life. We also have to understand that the extreme impact of physical blindness, as devastating as it is, in fact, is temporary for just a short lifetime. Spiritual blindness will have an impact that lasts for eternity. And our final point to remember is Jesus has sent His Holy Spirit to heal our spiritual blindness.